This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is KT McFarland, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration. She also served in the presidencies of Nixon and Ford. We want to get her thoughts on how the U.S. government, the administration, Congress, and others are responding now to the near terrorist attack on the airliner between Amsterdam and Detroit on Christmas Day. And KT, thanks so much for being with us.
Great pleasure, Greg.
Well, obviously, the administration has moved past its initial bumpy rhetoric of the system worked and isolated extremists, although they still tend to talk about it in that way. What do you make of the way their explanation of this has evolved over the past week?
Well, I think they're scrambling. What it doesn't do, though, is give anybody much confidence that the system is going to be fixed. Clearly, the system didn't work, and the president said the obvious. What concerns me, though, Greg, is twofold. One, after 8 years, we're still looking for the last weapon a terrorist used. You know, we're still looking. We're still taking off our shoes at the airport. You know, we're still not checking in. We're not flying with tubes of toothpaste or bottles of bottled water, because that was the last thing a terrorist used. What we should be doing instead is profiling. We need to profile, not racial profiling, but we need to terrorist profile. We need to look for a lot of symbols and signals if somebody is a potential terrorist. So we shouldn't pull Granny out of the line and giving her the pat down, and we shouldn't pull out some nice mom from Detroit who's got two babies she's trying to put in the stroller, but we should pull out the guy who looks, you know, furtive and has a lot of the characteristics, who's coming from a country that is a known terrorist country. So in that part, what the president's saying to do is good. But I still think that we're wasting an awful lot of resources by focusing on 90% of the people we don't even need to look twice at.
And talk a little bit more about what they should be looking for. You mentioned the elderly and the people trying to keep their kids in line and so forth. In addition to those who look a bit fidgety or uncomfortable in line, what are some of the telltale signs?
Well, you certainly want to know who's got a visa and who doesn't have a visa, for starters, and all of the connect-the-dot examples that we have from the Christmas Day bomber, we clearly didn't connect the dots. You want to look for somebody, you know, let's face it, the majority of the suicide bombers have been young males between the ages of about 16 and 35. They are coming from countries that are not usually U.S. passport holders, although some of them have been. They're coming, they've spent time in certain countries where they have been radicalized, Yemen, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and they are often traveling without luggage, with no return ticket, and they paid cash. Now, all those should be warning signs that say, at least say, when you see this guy in the line, hey, sir, would you like to step into a different line? We're going to give you a different search. We're by concentrating and saying we're checking everybody, we're in fact focusing on nothing. Because if you've got 100 people to check, you're not giving the one out of the 100 that you should be giving a second look to. You're not paying any attention to them. You're just trying to get the 100 people through the aisle.
How should this work from the top down? You're obviously in a privileged position during the Reagan administration. You kind of know how the national security apparatus works. Mm-hmm. What should be the message, the directive from the president and on through the intelligence community?
Well, I think the two things the president should do. He should stop treating terrorists like citizens, and he should stop giving them civilian rights and in civilian courts. I mean, the Christmas Day bomber got off that plane. He was initially met by the FBI, and he was talking. He was saying, they're more like me, who've been trained in Yemen. I know there are others who are coming. And then somebody read him Miranda rights and gave him a lawyer, and the lawyer told him to clam up. So as a result, we don't know what he knows. And what would have been useful is to find out what does he know, because in the next 48 hours, the next month or two, we know one thing in the past. Al-Qaeda has never had just one lone incident. They've always had several, often simultaneous. But it would be good to have known what this guy knows. Now we'll never know, because he'll use it in some subsequent plea bargain, which was the implication of John Brennan. And it'll be way too late to be of any importance or usefulness to us.
KT, in terms of other steps that would be helpful in connecting the dots, there's still obviously a lack of communication. You mentioned obviously the visa, the fact that his dad
right.
tipped off authorities in Nigeria and so forth. How do you make sure that these little bits of information get to where they need to go?
I think the president needs to set a different tone. What he has told, what he's told the world and what he's told the U.S. government And any bureaucracy always tends to play it safe unless they're told they can have a little more leeway. He's basically said to anybody, you step out of line once and we'll prosecute you. He said to the Navy, we're court-martialing three Navy SEALs because they gave a bloody lip to a suspected murderer and terrorist in Iraq. We've said to the former CIA people and people involved in some of the interrogations, you know, although the president said we'd like to look forward, is that he's made it clear that those people could still be subject to investigation. The problem with that is it sends a chill throughout the bureaucracy. And the effect of it is that if you're a government worker, you've got your hearts in the right place, but you're thinking, gee, why should I stick my neck out? I'm not sure that this Nigerian man who came into the embassy to warn me about his son, maybe there's nothing to it. If I stick my neck out, maybe something bad happens to me. And so there tends to be a chilling effect on the entire intelligence gathering community. The second thing is we've made it so every time we've got a problem, we throw more money at it. You know, we hire more people. And often that's the worst thing you can do because you just put yet another layer of bureaucracy. We've spent billions of dollars in our intelligence community, but yet in the last, 3 days, Greg, we've had two horrible incidents. We've had the Christmas Day bomber, and then we had the suicide bomber in Afghanistan that took out seven of our most trusted and valuable CIA people. And so these failures are happening, I think, in part because the bureaucracy is trying to play it safe, and the bureaucracy is big and unwieldy, and it needs to be nimble, and it's not.
KT, about a minute left here, and I think a lot of Americans would agree that some common sense steps would be helpful in reforming and improving our national security apparatus. But at the same time, close to home, they want to know what their experience is going to be at the airport and so forth. You mentioned before that profiling would be a more effective way than going through everybody's luggage and personal belongings. What can most of us expect in the year or so ahead?
I think that we will see more terrorist incidents. As the previous administration and President Bush used to say, we have to be successful 100% of the time, and they only have to be successful once. I think we will see, patriotism. The new form of patriotism is probably patience when you go to the airports. But what we really need, and we will certainly see a lot more various kinds of detection devices used, whether it's wands, whether it's walking through a full-body scan. But I think that unless we start willowing down the number of people we're putting through these kinds of additional searches, the whole system's going to come to a crash. And at the end of the day, that's what Al-Qaeda wants. They know they can't defeat us on a battlefield. They know they can't even defeat us with weapons. But what they can do is force us or cause us to overreact in some ways or badly react so that we devote an enormous amount of resources and pull our economy to a halt. I mean, if air travel becomes everybody's fifth choice instead of everybody's first or second choice for getting around this country, it's not going to help the country do what we need to do, which is to pull together, revive this economy, and go look for bad guys.
Well, KT, a critical issue to start the new year. Thanks so much for being with us.
Great pleasure, Greg.
KT McFarland served as Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for President Reagan, also served in the administrations of Presidents Nixon and Ford. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.